coming to you live from the Business Radio X studio in Woodstock, Georgia. This is Fearless Formula with Sharon Klein.
Welcome to Fearless Formula on Business Radio X, where we talk about the ups and downs of the business world and offer words of wisdom for business success. I'm your host, Sharon Klein, and today on the show, we have the lead creator at Hammerhead Creations. He is the host of the podcast, Your Morning Drive, Conversations to Start Your Day. Welcome, Logan Lewis.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You and I are in very similar fields.
We are. You know your way around the roadcaster. I like it.
I like that you even knew what it was called.
Absolutely.
It's just the board.
The board.
The board, yeah.
It also, funny enough, says roadcaster on the back.
It does on that side?
It does.
Ah, dang. You totally could have like said, oh, yeah, I know everything.
Could have played it off, but that just happens to be the exact machine that I use as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, it's very handy. Yeah. It's user-friendly. Mm-hmm. It's not too complicated.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that for myself. But funny enough, we are in very similar circles.
Yeah.
We met at networking morning event that I tend to meet a lot of people that are local in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate your reaching out to me because it's been months that we've been trying to plan this to get our schedules to align correctly. So thank you so much for your patience. But what's fun is like you are on the side of being interviewed. And at some point, if this flips and I go on your show, I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself. I like asking the questions. My brain, you know, is always running. So I can't imagine being on the other side and being like, okay, what about this? I'd be like, no, that's a good question to ask someone else.
Exactly. Right. It's so funny being over here versus over there. Cause it almost makes me it's just one of those things that you're so used to being on one side of something. And
yes.
Then it's like, it's almost like when football players, they retire from football and then they go and they be
the
like an announcer or a commentary.
Yeah.
It's gotta be so weird for them.
Yeah. Because they know exactly what's going on the other side of it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, I'll be a brave soul if that ever works out to where we get together and I'll be prepared, I
Perfect.
Think. But it's nice, actually, for me to have an opportunity to talk to someone in the same sort of field of things that I do. And we, thankfully, have a wealth of people to draw from here in the community that have very fascinating stories. Their journeys, to me, are so interesting. And I always compare myself, what would I do if I were in the scenarios that they were in, like their childhoods or their adversities, things that amplify their personalities to make them successful. I always wonder, what would I have done? Would I be able to be that strong? You know, so some of the people that we've interviewed, both of us, is Brittany Hyde with A Little Sober Bar, who is just wonderful. I know you've also interviewed Stone, who owns the studio here, Stone Payton. How was that?
It was great. This is the when I recorded with Stone, I had never recorded in an actual like professional studio before.
Ooh.
It's always been at my house, in my living room, on my couch, and
super chill, right?
Super chill. It gives off kind of like that authentic and organic and just laid back kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But after I sat in here with him, I definitely got bit by a bug.
Did
I was
you?
Like, you know what? I can't do this at home anymore. So,
seriously,
yeah.
Who would have thought?
So I jumped on the co-working bandwagon, mm-hmm. and I'll go ahead and shout them out. They deserve it. They worked with me, and they got my business, but we got more of a partnership. More like it feels like they're called Firework Co-working. They're in Marietta, down by Kennestone-ish kind of area.
Gotcha.
But anyway, I got bit by the bug, and I said, Stone, I got to get me a studio space of my own, and
it feels different.
And it
right?
feels so much better.
Oh, well, then it was meant to be.
It feels so much more like this is real rather than this is just something I do in my free time, you know?
I do. There are many things that I've done where I just kind of throw it all together and try to make it look professional, and it's good enough. But when the time comes, it's almost like the first time I did voiceovers or I did the first book that I did, the equipment that I had was, it was fine. It was good. It worked. But when I compare what I have now to then, I see such a difference in the quality of the things that I have. So it was fine. Like I was in my closet, which was fine. But now I have a real booth and it's got all of the different sound dampening things
mm-hmm.
on it, moving blankets. And
yeah.
It's got lights and it's all set up to be a different feel altogether than being surrounded by like, you know, my work clothes or my dresses or whatever. So it's
right.
funny that it's mental a little bit just the setting.
Yeah.
Make you feel different.
Absolutely. It's a weird and wonderful thing. It's almost like I'll keep putting in football references. It's like playing on the practice field versus getting onto the actual field. It's like, it's such a difference, even though it's kind of the same thing.
Yes.
But it's just it's almost like a mindset switch of like, okay, this is the real deal.
Yeah. It's like, also when they talk about it in voiceovers. So one of the ways that it's super effective to get into the character of who you're supposed to be in order to sell whatever it is they want you to sell, you have to make your mind, you picture it, you feel it, you smell it, all of the things. All right, I'm in a minivan and I'm in traffic. And, you know, it's like the acting part of it informs the way you sound. And it's a fascinating process, because when I went to school for voiceover, I really didn't think that that was a thing. I didn't know it was a thing until I practiced it on a mic and had it all recorded, and I could compare and contrast when I wasn't really thinking in character and then when I was. It's amazing to me. I still am blown away by the fact that something small, like a setting in your mind, will change.
Absolutely. It's mind-boggling.
So you have your professional space, so you're having people come to your studio when you're doing interviews.
I am. It's so wonderful. I mean, it's just, like we said, it's just a total vibe change. It's like, hey, welcome. Can I get you a drink of water? Yeah. Like, do you need anything? Here's the bathroom if you need it. Like, mm-hmm. I always wanted it to be cool and laid back and chill, like at my house. But then again, I also live in Cartersville. So getting people to, me driving to Cartersville is fine. I do it. I live there. But be like, hey, you can be on my podcast. Drive all the way out to Cartersville. People are like, they don't say that, but you know. I know that they think that. So I was just like, I just got to get something more kind of center, local to everybody. Marietta is very local to, I feel like, anywhere in Metro Atlanta, kind of. Marietta is just kind of the heart of it.
Yeah, you just go slightly north of the city and you hit Marietta.
So, I'm in love with it. I've only done two recordings there so far, so it's very fresh. Brittany was actually the first.
Oh, no kidding.
So I'm just in love with it.
So, all right, it's called Your Morning Drive, Conversations to Start Your Day. What is your sort of pervasive theme around what your podcast is about? Is it more like what we do here, where we're just kind of chit-chatting with people? Or do you have like a, I don't know, more of a deep dive into people's backgrounds?
Well, you know, it depends. So mostly the first one. It's very, hey, come on in, let's chat, bring a drink if you want one, like let's do this. Like last night, or sorry, not last night, two nights ago, I recorded one with someone that's kind of a mentor to me, and he is a vice president at New Realm Brewing Company.
Wow.
And he's kind of a mentor of mine, and we chat, and he gives me, you know, career advice and all kinds of things. And I just said, hey man, bring a couple drinks if you want I'll bring a couple drinks, and we'll just chat on the mic as if we're having just a regular coaching mentor mentee conversation, and we just recorded it. And I love him so much. I can't wait for it to come out. But it depends on the guest, really.
Oh, okay.
So if it's me and you, it's going to be a little bit of both, right? It's going to be like, let me hear how you got to this point, but also let's just chat. Whereas a few weeks ago, I interviewed a up and coming kind of country music artist.
That.
And with her, it was very much more interview structured.
Yes.
Like, tell me about your music, tell me about your inspirations, tell me about, you know, the songwriting process. You know, it's more interview based.
Yes.
Whereas I kind of envision mine to be very Joe Rogan-y. Come on in, have a seat. If we're in here for 30 minutes, great. If we're in here for 3 hours, even better. So
have you always wanted to interview people? How did you get started?
So I have not always wanted to interview people. It's so weird. So my podcast actually has been through several rebrands. It's actually the thing that I am given the most crap for by like my parents and like my biggest critics. They'll say, God, no one knows where to find you because you rebrand every 2 years or something. So way back whenever the podcast first started, it was called Hold On To Your Butts. Because if you can name the movie that's from.
I don't know.
It's from Jurassic Park.
Oh.
It's my favorite movie ever.
I did see it, but I don't recall that.
It's a very niche line. It's kind of a meme almost.
Oh.
But all I did was talk about movies. And I reviewed movies, talked about movies. It was just a weekly movie coverage kind of thing. And over time, I got picked up co-hosts, dropped co-hosts, picked up co-hosts, dropped co-hosts. But in between all these movie episodes, every once in a while, I would get somebody like really interesting, almost like a Stone or a Britney. And I'd be like, God, I want to just talk to them. And Hold On To Your Butts is a cool place to upload it because I already have a podcast feed, but it doesn't make sense to be under that. Excuse me. And then over the last couple years, I've just really been drawn to, you know, one thing me and Stone talked about is like getting to know people's stories and like, where did you come from? How did you get here? And tell me everything in between. And I love that so much. I never grew up watching talk shows much. Like I liked watching clips on YouTube of like Conan or Jimmy Kimmel or Ellen DeGeneres. I watched a lot of Ellen with my mom actually as a young kid. I do remember that. And Oprah.
But wait, how old are you, by the way?
How old do you think I am? I love this question.
Well, because you're younger than I am. Let's see. 28? I don't know.
Yeah, 28.
Wait,
just
are
turned
you?
28.
Oh
just
my
turned
gosh, 28. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank
yes.
God.
Yes, just turned 28.
I felt so much pressure. Okay, I feel better now.
It's funny. My next door, it was my birthday at the beginning of the month, and I got out of the car. I got home that night, and he said, "Hey, man, happy birthday. I saw on Facebook it's your birthday. Happy birthday. How old are you?" And I was like, "How old do you think I am?" And he was like, 37.
Oh.
And I was like, 37? Jesus.
Did he really say that?
He did. And I was like, good to see you. And now
well, listen,
I give him crap for
with
it.
With men, it's okay. Like, there's a maturity thing. It's totally good. A woman, that would be tough.
Yeah.
It's not always a good
That's
thing.
That's why whenever the woman says, "How old do you think I am?" I'm like, don't trap me like that. Don't do that to me.
I almost felt like that just now. Well, the reason I ask is because, podcasting is so much more natural for a younger group. But, like, I'm 53. So I've got, like, a not normal kind of, like, podcast is not what I grew up with. It's not my normal every day. So it's interesting to talk to someone who's younger.
I'm interrupting you. You're 53?
Yeah. So that's what I mean by having someone who's sort of like in a younger thought. Like, my daughter grew up with computers every day. Like, she was a baby on my lap,
yeah.
You know, and that was normal. They've never known my kids with no life without computers. So for me, I've got... That process was more of a, like, in high school, I took computer classes, you know, back in the day. So I guess what I'm saying is I like that you are, this is something that feels like a very natural, normal thing to do. So when you were younger and looking at doing a movie podcast, well, of course, I mean, here's all the equipment. Everybody can do this now from home and it's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that for myself, it felt like such a fight to get my brain to say, okay, well, how does this work? You know, wait, so I don't need to be anywhere and it's all through Wi-Fi. And so I guess what I'm thinking is that for you to think of ideas of what to make a podcast about, it's very natural for you.
It is. I'm very passionate about podcasts because, like you said, and you know, some would argue that this is a con about podcasting is that anyone can do it. There's a lot of competition. I would disagree.
I love that you're talking about this. This is a huge thing.
I absolutely think that if you have this is something I'm so passionate about. If you have a creative joint in your finger and that's the only creative bone you have in your entire body, I want you to flex that as much as possible. Like, I grew up in like an engineering household. Like, my dad's an engineer, has worked in construction his whole career. My mom was stay at home, stayed with us. But I was grown up thinking that I was going to go into like a very math heavy, science heavy field. And, you know, being creative, I don't want to say it was like frowned upon, but it was like, stop focusing on your drawings and focus on your math homework instead. And that's not a bad thing necessarily.
Parents do that, don't they? Like,
yeah.
They want the sure thing for their kids.
Sure. And I never thought I would end up doing this kind of thing, but I woke up one morning and was like, I want to start a podcast. I want to start talking into a microphone. And I've done it for like 6-7 years now.
That's amazing.
And I love it. And, you know, sometimes I do this thing that I'm doing right now and I start to answer your question and I start rambling and forget what the initial question was.
I don't know.
That's a lot of fun.
I do the same.
But things, yes, they come natural to me. Because I just love being creative. I love just brainstorming. I love getting a notebook out and just literally throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
So that's just a natural part of your personality, right? That creative and also initiative person, someone who's not going to just wait.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I get it done, Sharon.
Well, I'm so happy to. Clearly you do, because you actually, you know, we had lost touch over the months and you would never kind of like 100% go. You'd be like, hey, mm-hmm. don't forget.
I'm in the background.
I'm like, I got you, I think. So anyway, yeah, without your kind of following up with me, it would have probably gotten lost along the way. So I appreciate that.
For sure.
But also, knowing that's something that I've always admired about people who start their own business or have a dream and they really are going to follow it, even if it's an online thing, whatever. Is that initiator personality type or someone who's not going to allow the basics of fear, which is what this show's about, how that can limit your life. So do you ever have moments where you're sort of like trying to, what did you say? You throw stuff out there. You hope it sticks. Are there times where you're like, I can't take another no, or I can't take something falling apart?
Yeah. I mean, I care a lot about what others think about me and what I'm doing. So I let the little things get to me. And if I have an idea and it's not taking off or it's not working, it really starts to get to me. And so then years ago, I would just keep putting out content, but it wasn't good. I was forcing it because I would hit that writer's block, but for creativity, creative block, maybe.
Yes.
We're going to coin that term today. Creative's block. So what I decided to start doing is whenever I hit that block, I'd stop putting it out, because I, at the end of the day, don't want something like this that I'm super passionate about. I don't want it to feel like it's a job or a chore. And at the time when I was like losing co-hosts and like just doing it because I felt like I had to, I was unhappy. And so I took about a 6-month break, and after a while, I was like, I naturally feel like I'm being called back to this. And that's when I rebranded and really started taking the interview aspect of it. And I dropped the whole movie subject. I still love movies, but feels like I'm so busy nowadays, I can barely get to the movies anymore. I can't even see the things I actually want to see. So I was like, I want to do this interview thing. And I felt naturally, I'm trying to be a more religious person, but I'm not very traditionally, but it almost felt like it was a God thing calling me back to it. It was like, come back. You're ready to come back.
Oh, so you listen to your intuition.
Yeah. I kind of, like you said, I'm a doer. So mm-hmm. if the thought even is like a small sprinkle of a thought in the back of my mind, I'll think about that thought and I'll think about it and I'll think about it. And then I'll say, okay, I'm going to do it.
So when you were, looking for people to interview for your podcast, where do you go? Like, how did you find this country artist? Where do you draw from?
So all over, you know, I meet everybody everywhere. So Brittany, for example, I met her at an event that my day job was doing at the Mill in Canton. And she was set up and I walked by her little setup and I didn't even talk to her, but I walked by and I go,
right, she's with the Little Sober Bar, a mobile drink camp. It's not a camper. I can't remember what she called
it. Yeah, it's like a little,
like a setup. She takes. Yeah. It's like a food truck, but for drinks. But she was wonderful. She was on the show recently, and just knowing that something kind of struck you like that happens to me as well.
I walked by their tent or by her setup, and I go, "That looks so cool. I want to talk to her." And email her and it goes from there.
Next thing you know.
The country artist, she came from a mutual friend who also does a podcast, and he interviews exclusively people in the music business. And he's also kind of a little mentor of mine. So I was getting dinner with him a few weeks ago and he goes, hey, you know, Ashley's from Marietta. She's a local girl. I bet you could do it. She lives in Nashville now, but I mean, he was like, I bet you could get her to do it. She's a great person. I was like, okay. And same thing with this. Like, it took months. I mean, I was talking to her booking agent and trying to line it up, and we ended up doing it virtually, which is
great.
Still great. The fact that she took time out of her busy schedule to do it with me is fine by me. But then some people, you know, I find just organically, like at a networking group or, you know, Stone, you know, just networking, or I've seen them around Cherokee County and downtown Woodstock and been like, you know what? Me and this guy's paths have crossed enough. It's time to talk.
What do you think is the most satisfying for you as you are interviewing people? Like, what gives you that sort of, like, if you could high five yourself at the end of an interview, what makes something just great?
I feel like the best interviews, and you might agree with this, is when there's never any dead moments. It's the conversation's going, you're vibing off of each other, you're getting more and more comfortable with each other as it goes along. Like, for instance, Brittany, I'd never met her. And we had just communicated via text a couple times, and we'd never met. And that's how I prefer it. I don't want to get to know you too much before I talk to you, because then that takes the authenticity out of the interview. I feel like I'm almost learning as much as the listener is.
Yes, and I love that.
I'm so passionate.
You don't know
that
you know something and wouldn't ask, but a stranger would ask. So if you know too much, you could miss an important detail.
Right. It's like interviewing your, if you interviewed your daughter, you know everything about your daughter. It wouldn't make sense. But if you took me, who you barely know and you're getting to know now, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to talk to this person, and your questions might be pre-prepared, but they also might be genuine. You might be genuinely curious on why I do certain things the way I do. And I feel like that when an interview ends and I hit done and I take the headphones off and I'm like, man, that was fantastic. That was just fantastic. Because there are bad interviews. You end them and you take your headphones off and you're like,
Thanks for coming.
And you get home and you're like, well, they're not all winners. And it's the fact of it. But when they end and you're like high-fiving with the guests because they had a great time and they're like, I want to tell my friend to be on here. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this person was a good hookup.
I think what's nice too is the setting of what we have in this studio. And please tell me if it's the same for you. I very rarely get moments where it's just the two of us, one person and me. Usually if we meet, it's busy, it's in a networking scenario, but to actually have devoted, 40, 45 minutes to really getting to know someone, no distractions. I genuinely just want to know what it's like to be in your shoes for a little while. I swear when we leave, we're like friends or something. That's like an energy exchange, but like it's a safe one, and it truly is meant to be a positive experience. And so at the end, I'm always like, I feel like I know you in a way I never would have if I didn't have this opportunity.
I 5,000,000,000% agree. I feel like I keep calling back to it. But when me and Stone were talking, we talked about how when you do an interview with someone, like there's people I've interviewed I haven't talked to in 8, 9, 10 months, but I could call them and they'd pick up, or I'll text them and they'll text back, and it's like no time has disappeared. And like that's how the mentor, the guy that I was chatting with the other night from New Realm, that's how that relationship started. I said, oh my God, he's a president at New Realm. That's a company that everyone locally knows. So I want to interview this guy. And from there, we lost touch. And then a year later, he was just like, you want to grab a beer? And then we talked, and that's how we kind of became a mentor. But you have this weird bond that's like now I'm friends with you. Like, I want to know how you're doing. I want to know how your family's doing. Like, I just have this, it's like a weird attachment.
Yeah, it's something that it's difficult to describe. So I'm really happy to talk about it with someone
that understands.
Yeah, because they are strangers coming in, and I'm the same way where I'll just message someone on Facebook or texting and I don't even know what they look like. But when they come in and we just chat, there's like it's like a little sacred space that everyone seems to be happy with. So at the end, I feel like we've gotten so much further in terms of understanding each other and trust than I would have had in another way.
It's so intimate too. It's like you said, no distractions. It's mm-hmm. me and you in this room. Yeah. And it's just
notes.
Like, I'm not BSing. You're not BSing. It's all not yet. Yeah. We haven't gotten to know each other that much. I haven't lied to you yet. But once I lie to you for the first time, that's how you know that we're real friends.
I have. So good luck with that. No, but you're right. It's like that intimacy is,
it's special. Very personal.
It's special. I'm really glad to share that with someone. It's hard to explain.
And I always get so excited, like when I originally hit you up, because I'm pretty sure that the networking event that I did go to, I didn't talk to you. Yeah. I don't think I did.
No, I don't think so.
And I think it was only after the fact that I was on LinkedIn and I was adding a bunch of people that I had met at that networking event, and you had popped up because you had the mutual connections. And I was like, oh my God, she was there. I never talked to her, but she's a local podcaster too. Like, she does this too. And mm-hmm. I always feel like when I meet someone locally that does podcasts, like, I want to be friends with you.
Right. Like, if I knew a local voiceover artist, I would want to know them.
Absolutely.
Too.
Like, I just want you to either A, be a collaborator of mine, be a friend, or both. I mean, like you said, it's just like, and the podcasting community, I feel like, is so tight too, mm-hmm. that like, it's like in podcasting, it's like you have all the big people like Joe Rogan and Conan and like all of the big, big caller daddies and of the world, like those big conglomerates. And then you have the small people. There's no in between. You either make it or you're not.
Well, statistically, Stone knows this statistic. I believe it's 80% or 90% of all podcasts do not go past
the first year or something. They quit after a year.
Yeah. Or even the 10 episodes. It's done. They just don't. So most podcasts don't succeed. So if you get to a certain point past 10, I suppose, or past a year, then that's a huge achievement. So not like you were saying to your point earlier, not everyone can be a successful podcast host. And also the subject matter, I know that not everything I speak about with anybody on the show is going to really resonate with the whole world, but hopefully wherever it does land, that's like organically where it's supposed to go. And that's the way I look at it. It'll land where it's supposed to. The people who are supposed to hear it are going to hear it.
Yeah. Anybody who's a local podcaster that's listening, or anyone in radio or anything, if they're listening to this right now, they're probably fist pumping because they understand the things we're talking about too. Mm-hmm. So it's such a niche group of people, but we all know the struggles and the successes. Real.
Yeah. So do you come with a list of questions when you have your interview? Have you done research and you're sort of know how you want the interview to go? Or do you do like me, which is basically very little prep and just let it, because I'm kind of lazy. I just like to be in the moment. It's too much work. And I'm just like, no, it's a chore. But I just, this is where I'm happiest right here.
Correct. I also do very minimal preparation. I do what you did for me and ask like, hey, can I have a bio of you or something? And I'll send you something after this that might streamline that process for you. So remind me to tell you that.
Will do.
But it's something I just started doing. So I'm not going to act like I'm all high and mighty and, you know, I'm this god or anything, but forgot your initial question.
What was I saying? What did I ask? I asked, do you prepare questions?
Yes, sorry. Oh, yeah. My fault, listeners. They're like, this guy is ADD off the chain. It's true. So I it depends on the guest, really. I mean, someone like me or you or like my mentor, or if I'm sitting down with a buddy, because I'll do them with friends too. I recorded a 3.5-hour episode a few months ago, and this is the longest one I've ever done. And I didn't prep at all. I just said, come over, let's have some drinks and let's chat. Mm-hmm. And it lasted 3 hours. but for the country artist, you know, I looked a little bit more into her. I listened to her music. I, you know, looked at her tour dates. I kind of brushed up on her because I didn't want to be unprepared with her.
Right.
So I, you know, if I'm interviewing Shaquille O'Neal, I'm going to have a questions list. But if I'm interviewing, you know, Joe's Baker from the bakery shop down the street, I might have some general, you know, how'd you get into business? You know, basic stuff like that. But everything else, I want to be natural and free flowing, just like yourself.
The exact same.
Yeah.
This is awesome for me. Isn't it?
It's so amazing for me.
Oh my God, for both of us.
You're asking me questions that I love asking people.
This is hilarious.
I told you before we started recording that like I never get interviewed. So. Yeah. This is an absolute joy. I'm having so much fun.
Oh, yay. Me too. That's the goal. I'm going to high five myself and you when it's over.
Absolutely.
All right. So do you have a favorite interview that you've done so far?
Oh, boy. They're like my children, you know. It's hard to pick. But what's a really cool one that I've done?
So we don't have dead air while you think. I was thinking how each person, each story that someone has told, like if you were to ask me, each story that someone's told is as valid and valuable to me as any other because it's their journey and I think it's interesting. And so if someone were to say favorite interview to me, I actually don't know that I'd be able to point to one. So it's kind of an unfair question.
Right. So I'm not scrolling on my phone forever, people. I'm looking at an interview list that I've done. And, you know, I I really liked interviewing Ashley. She was a great interview, the country artist. Mm-hmm. She was really cool. Jeff, my mentor, he was a great episode. I don't know. They're all kind of neck and neck for me. I don't really know.
I would say
know.
The same. And it to me, it like you were saying, everyone has a story. It is the truth. Where did you come? What everyone has pervasive, like the themes that kind of make us all human. We all struggle. We all have dreams, all of that. So to me, all of them are valid and interesting. My brain does not shut off at all. So it's so nice to be able to have a moment where I can kind of exercise all of the thoughts that I have and they can actually translate to something meaningful, hopefully. Otherwise, it's just like, it's mm-hmm. fun being me.
Yes.
In my head, by myself, in my booth.
People ask me what stuff. It's like to be me, and I never know how to answer that question.
Yeah, it's true.
It's chaos. ADD.
But a lot of it is just trying to understand myself better as well. So asking you a question, how do you feel about this, gives me an opportunity to see if I would feel the same way. And if not, why? And if I don't like the fact that I don't have the same responses, is there something I can do to change it? Like, this is all happening in real time, mm-hmm. all the time. Good times.
Absolutely.
But all right. So if you were to put yourself 5 years from now, where would you like to see your podcast go? What would be the dream?
Ideally, in the perfect world scenario, I'm doing it full time and it's my job. And I'm traveling, I'm doing live shows, live interviews. I would love, this is far, far. This isn't even 5 years. This is like 20, 25 years. I would love to have my own talk show on TV. I would love to do that. Or I would love to be an actor, a voice actor. We need to talk about that at some point. I would love to be in the entertainment world, kind of taking my love for this and my love for like the entertainment industry and morphing them together. In terms of the podcast, though, I mean, I'd love to still be doing it even after, you know, life progresses and I get older and have kids and stuff. Like, I'd love for it to be my thing. Like, you know, if I have kids and I'm told, like, you get one thing, it's this. I'll drop video games. I'll drop movies. I'll drop all the other stupid things I like to do.
I always
but
say,
I'll keep this.
This is the happiest hour of my week.
Wow.
Because it's just so much joy. You know, it's so much fun. Yay. I love knowing
whenever,
someone else thinks like me.
Not like I've been in job interviews or anything lately, but if I ever am interviewed and people are like, oh, tell me about your podcast, I always say I am the best version of myself when I'm behind a microphone.
Aww.
So I'm so glad to hear you say that too.
I'm going to say that from now on. I might credit you. We'll see.
That's cool. I am the best version of, happiest version of Logan is right here, right now.
So what do you think it is about you that like makes you as curious like as I am? What do you think? Is it the way you're designed or is it supernatural?
I think it's just I feel like I've always grown up, my parents are both very intelligent and I feel like they always knew the answer to something. And if my mom didn't know, my dad knew. If my dad didn't know, my mom knew. And I always, and most of my family members, my aunts and uncles and cousins, everyone's very intelligent. I don't have any idiots really in my family, as aggressive as that is. I always feel like I hate saying I don't know the answer to something. And it's one of those things that I don't know. It might be in my DNA that I'm just curious. I almost called the podcast I'm just curious, or that's interesting.
Yeah,
because
it's a good name.
Yeah,
because the truth.
Because I'm very curious. Like, people often will get mad at me, like at work or if I'm doing something for someone, they'll say, do it this way. And I'll be like, well, why do we do it that way? And they're like, just do it. I'm like, no, I'm not challenging your authority. I'm curious on why we do it this way versus this other way. Like, is there a rule book somewhere? Who put it in the rule book? Where was the rule book purchased? Like, I want to know the backstory to everything. Very curious.
I like it because what you're talking about is curiosity born out of sort of like your family's natural dispositions and propensities for finding answers and knowing answers. I think mine is born somewhat out of trauma, actually. So I have a constant need to understand so that I know how to navigate what I'm dealing with.
Okay. And I like that.
So, I think it's from childhood. I really do.
Well, I think there's also a piece of it that's, I never want to be, this is something I talk about in therapy. I don't like to be stagnant. I don't like to be never not learning something. Like, I love to learn. I loved school, not for the tests and homework and the quizzes, but learning new things. I always found super duper fascinating. So maybe it's a piece of that that's like, I kind of miss school in a weird way. Like, again, not the work with school, but the concept of like, wow, I had no idea that that was a thing. Like, whenever people like teach me new information, like all the stuff I learned about like alternative cocktails and the snacks that Brittany provides and her stuff, I was just like, wow, I had no idea any of this world existed. No idea.
Oh, and it's so interesting to say, how did you come up with this? Or how did you come up with that? Because if I were in that scenario, I wonder if I would be struggling. And right. If, you know, how is it to be you? You know, how cool is that as well? I have such an appreciation for the different ways that we're all made.
100%. It's, I love it. I hate it sometimes how curious I am, because I want to just be like, Logan, shut up and accept it for its face value. But at the same time, I don't want to. I want to know the why behind everything.
When I was a student at Kennesaw State University, which I know you went to as Hootie well, Hootie Hoo, I graduated in 2012, but I worked at the radio station there, and I had a couple different interview shows that I was doing.
I'm so jealous right now.
Oh my
goodness
God,
gracious.
Really?
So jealous.
That's hilarious.
Sharon, if I could do podcasting in any professional setting besides my, I know my thing is professional, but like, if I could do it in any professional setting, I would cry.
Oh, I know the feeling. So it was wonderful at the time because I had a lot of carte blanche where I could just make, what show did I want to do? And one of them was called Investigation KSU. So I would find what was happening on campus, and I would go figure out the backstory behind it. And I interviewed several professors and people who were in the music industry that were part of a new program that they were making at the time. I just loved it because everyone had a cool story. Like, well, how did you become a professor here? What did you learn? And how? What do you like about it? But I also had gone into the library area where they had basically like a little museum of different artifacts that were on campus. And I had interviewed the curator of it at the time. She has passed away since then. And I don't like listening to myself go back and listen to shows. So I never really listened to our interview, but I had the audio since, 2011, I think, and stumbled upon it last week. And so I started to listen to it, like, just be a brave soul. Just see what it was like back in 2011.
Yeah.
What were you asking? And I am the exact same. And it is insane.
Really?
Yes. And I asked the same questions that I was like trying to figure out where I was going with the question. And I was like, oh, I know exactly where you're going. I'm the exact same curious, looking for things that connect us all 100%. And it was so affirming to me because really that is genuinely who I am. So it was kind of nice.
I was going to say that's consistency, and I would rather have had that than me switching the brand here, switching the brand there. What's my voice here? What's my voice there? Because like I've said, and going to repeat again, like I woke up one morning and was like, I want to do a podcast. I didn't think about it. I didn't do any thought process behind it. I went to Best Buy, bought a microphone, and did it that day.
Amazing.
So I didn't have the structure in place before. I had to come up with a structure after the fact. It's almost like when artists blow up overnight and they're like, oh crap, now I got to really like
be an artist.
Be an artist now. Like it's.
Well, I've had other iterations.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had a show called Soulgasm TV at one point.
Okay.
And had a logo and an LLC, all kinds of stuff going on with that. And I interviewed lots of different people. This is about the same time period, maybe 2009, 2010. So I've had other, and I had business cards, you know, that had a totally different vibe to them. But the theme generally always was, I would love to know what your story is like.
Yeah.
And what your world is like.
Yeah.
But the name of it has been different. I used to do video and now I just really appreciate radio. I see that you do video mm-hmm. with your podcast. How's that going?
It's wonderful. If I'm being completely honest and authentic, I've never said this out loud. God. I hate doing it. I do.
Why?
I just think it's an added... Well, first of all, that's what social media is right now. Everyone wants TikToks, Reels. Everyone wants 15-second videos. That's part of social media. Like, that's just where we're at right now as a society. And I think video feels like a job. Okay. Audio is natural. I love it. I love it to death. I don't want to say it's easy, but it's
more natural.
It's more natural. Whereas video is like, okay, I got to go chop this, chop that, make clips out of this, clips out of that. I actually use the same camera that you guys have in here.
We've got cameras in here, but notice I have not turned them on. I like the audio.
Okay, I was going to ask if we're doing video right now, but I didn't want
to. Well, there's a performative aspect to video as well.
True.
I like showing up wearing workout clothes and like
100%.
Whatever. It's nice.
Yes, but, I agree.
But I would say that you're right that there is everyone wants a little real, which is why we have the cameras here for certain circumstances.
Don't get me wrong. I like the video. It's just there's an added pressure of, oh, is it clear enough? Is it HD enough? How's the lighting? Is the sound coming through okay mm-hmm. in the video? Is it matching up with the words that we're, you know?
What is the software that you use to edit?
Well, now I use everything that goes with that camera for the video, the spatial, whatever it is. And that's the thing too, is I don't really edit at all.
So I don't either. I mean, the interview is the interview.
Okay, cool. Unless one of us says something horrifying that we're going to keep to ourselves, I don't really edit, but if I throw it in a software, it's either like Audacity or iMovie or...
I use both of those. I use Audacity to master the audio files I do for voiceover, but I use GarageBand basically.
Yeah.
And iMovie is so nice. All of it's already on, and Audacity is free.
And it's free.
Yeah, everything's already kind of comes with your computer, so that's good to know. Lots of people have different methods, and so some of the other podcasts that I've been associated with, I do a motorcycle podcast with my friends.
You have a motorcycle?
I have two motorcycles.
Oh my God, okay. We'll save this for my interview.
Okay. So, he uses a totally different software, totally different process, which feels intimidating to me because I'm kind of lazy. Like, I don't want to learn this. Do I have to learn this? If I can do it in a way that I already know how to do it, I'm going to do it that way. Path of least resistance. I'm not really proud of that. I'm just saying, like, I can grow and I can learn, but why? I already know how to do this.
You are the same person as me. Whenever someone's like, oh, there's this new thing you could use, I'm like, okay, I'll look into it and I'll watch a YouTuber video or two about it. And then I'll be like, I'm okay with how I do things.
So far it's working. If it doesn't work, I'll change it.
Yeah, if one day a law is passed and it says I can no longer use Rodecasters, well, it sounds like I'm going to have to learn a new board. But until that, I don't want to hear about your new up-and-coming board. Rode does it for me, baby.
You know, every time we turn around, there's something new. I understand progress. It's great. But yeah, for sure, I probably should open my mind a little bit.
We all probably could use that.
How often do you do your podcast?
I tend to do them as often as I can or as often as the guest can. Yes. So at this moment, I don't record any episodes. I don't know if you do by yourself. You don't do any solo. Do you ever do any solo, just you talking into the mic?
But, oh my God, so boring.
So boring. And I do, oddly enough, when I'm thinking about it and it's going to happen, maybe it's not. I yawn a lot for some reason when I'm talking to myself and it is so uncomfortable. It's about to happen.
Okay.
Oh, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Funny.
I just don't like doing it by myself. So whenever a guest can do it, you know, I might do one a week. I might do two a week. I might do one a month. It just depends on how I can get the guest.
Okay. I'm similar. I try to do every Friday at 3. That's been the theme for me. But this month was a tougher month. I was traveling some. And so, yeah, you just work. Having a date and time that is set for me is important because that structure – I can work around it. I always know this is going to happen at this time. So I appreciate that. But yeah, it's nice to be a bit flexible. I was here on a Tuesday doing an interview recently. You just work around, I guess, everyone else. But I didn't know if it was something that you sort of were like, okay, on Fridays at 10, I'm doing my interviews.
Well, I would love to have a more strict schedule on it, if I'm being honest, but the biggest problem is that I'm not in a place with my day job that I can just leave and do this. Because that's the other thing too, is like we said, they could last 30 minutes, they could last 2 hours. So I don't want to tell my work, oh, I'm just going to take an extended lunch. I might be back at this time. I might not be. I respect them too much to do that to them. So most of mine are recorded are either on the weekends or weeknights. So, and now that I have this studio space, it's less uncomfortable. But before, when I would bring someone to my house on a random Tuesday night, it was weird. But now that I have this space, it feels more like, oh yeah, I'll just drop by at 7 and we'll do it from 7 to 8 p.m. And if the guest is cool with that, if they're willing to do it at midnight, I'll do it at midnight too. It just depends on them.
So if you were going to tell someone who is interested in getting started in the podcast world some advice, what would you give them?
Don't do what I did.
No,
plan
wait,
it I, out.
I will say that you're probably more normal than you think. I did the same as you. So I mean, it's nice to have a plan, but sometimes life organically kind of unfolds.
Yeah, I would say maybe just really figure out what you want to talk about, because there's tons of genres out there that people love to deep dive. People love doing the true crime thing. People love doing the entertainment talk. People love doing stuff like that. And I feel like those are almost the big three. It's probably news and politics, entertainment, interview, and true crime. Those are probably the big four categories. But really hone in, find your niche, because again, it's a very competitive space. If you want to take off, you either need to pray that a social media video takes off or that you are just damn good at marketing yourself.
And different enough in some way.
Different enough in some way. Mm-hmm. Try to find a name that isn't taken by anybody else, because there's tons of, you know, when I was switching to Your Morning Drive, there's like a This Week On or Today's Guest Is, like there's tons of podcasts out there. Try to be original. Somehow Your Morning Drive wasn't taken.
Perfect.
The handles were available on social media. I was like, oh, this is a sign.
Did you make the logo or did you have a company make it for you?
I had the vision for the logo, and I utilized a service on Fiverr.
Oh yeah,
they
have voiceover services
put it,
there too.
To put it on and make it what it was. And I was like, oh, it's a cup of coffee, but a microphone also at the same time. Like it's
nice,
very fitting.
Do you listen to? Are there certain podcasts you listen to that are informing your style of interviewing or your way that you do a podcast?
Oddly enough, all the podcasts I listen to are comedy.
You sound so sure.
I'm trying to think about what I listen to. You know, it's like someone when someone's like, what's your favorite artist of all time? You're like, ah, I don't know. Joe Rogan, I don't listen to religiously, but his format of like, come in, have a drink with me, let's smoke a cigar and let's just talk. I love that idea. But a lot of them that I listen to are very funny, just comedians. Like I'll do like Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer, Theo Vaughn, Conan O'Brien, to name a few. I mean, a lot of those are interview based though. I mean, a lot of those celebrities have those interview podcasts that they do now instead of doing like TV shows,
but they're entertaining. They have a lot of levity.
Yes, they
and
do.
And that's important. I think people can get kind of bored without laughing.
And that's the problem too, is, and maybe you can relate to this a little bit too. It's really hard to try to make, it's hard to try to convince like Theo Vaughn, Conan O'Brien, they've got their name. Like they're good. No matter what they do, they're good. The Rock started a podcast tomorrow, it would take off and be number one in the charts because it's The Rock. But you and me trying to be different than those guys, it's tough. It's really tough. So find a way to hone in on you. Be yourself. Don't put up a mask. I'm not a fan of podcasts that are pre-scripted. It sounds like you're just reading from a book in English class. It sounds so unnatural. I just You know, be yourself. That's the biggest thing. Don't change. Don't think, you know, this person's doing this, I should start doing that. Yeah, maybe take notes, but don't change who you are.
I would say that if you are have any sort of inauthentic vibe to what you're doing, it comes across.
I completely agree. It's almost like when you're talking to someone, you can tell when someone's BSing you. Mm-hmm. You're like, this seems so fake. When you're listening to something, you can tell when mm-hmm. something feels forced or authentic or not. It's like the bad interviews. When they end, you're like, a lot of that's going to feel forced, but I'm not going to disrespect the person and not put it out.
Of course, of course.
So I'm going to put it out, and people might think it's forced, and you know what? Maybe it was, but
this was today's energy. That was today. That was the reflection of today,
yep.
This moment. And that's okay too, because not everything is always 100%, I guess, except me. Just kidding. There are a few interviews that I wish I could go back and redo because either had like a headache or I didn't eat enough that day or I just wasn't on
or the my sniffles game. And you're just like, God, just not 100%.
I know, not 100%. And I really wish I could because there are some that I just loved the guest, but I was just not, my brain was not firing on all cylinders. It was like on safe mode is what I call it. So yeah. But at the same time that is reflection of where I was. And I appreciate the notion that, like what you're saying, just being you is the most important part. Well, good. Well, good, because that's what I am. I can't fake it. Neither can you.
No, I can't. I'm me no matter what I try to do. If I try to be serious Logan after 10 minutes, I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to be fun.
Well, all right. So we've been talking about 50 minutes.
Wow.
I know it goes by fast.
Good
but
Lord.
I really appreciate your coming into the studio and sharing your side of what it's like to do very similar things to me. I don't get opportunities to talk about it very often. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. It's like you said, it's fun being on the other side of things. So it's a lot of fun. We got to do it again.
We do. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you and talk to you about what you do, how can they do that?
So you can find me pretty much anywhere. I'm all over the internet. Your Morning Drive is the handle on everything, Instagram, TikTok. If you want to find me on the internet, you can find Instagram is probably the best way to get in contact with me. I'm on social media all the time, probably more than I should be. And that handle is Logan A. Lewis. That's it.
Well, this has been a different kind of interview for me today because usually I just ask a lot of questions and then the guest answers and whatever, but I really felt like I spoke just as much as you did.
Right?
So it was more of a conversation. I apologize a little bit because generally speaking, I like to ask a lot of questions, but it was so nice actually to commiserate with someone. So thank you.
Thank you. I couldn't be more thankful.
And thank you all for listening to Fearless Formula on Business Radio X. And again, this is Sharon Klein reminding you with knowledge and understanding, we can all have our own fearless formula. Have a great day.